Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, and once again, want to thank my good friends over at Cafe Bionda, 1924 South State Street in Chicago, who are providing us with our Bears tailgate brunch this morning. And thankfully, we don't have the Bears to watch, so we can stomach our brunch this morning.
But Jay Cutler's on TV right now.
That's why everybody's listening to the Sunday Spin. There's no reason to be watching Jay Cutler. Has he been intercepted yet?
No, first play, he just handed it off. No interceptions yet. I will keep you posted throughout the morning.
Well, don't interrupt with interceptions, because
okay,
that could happen every 10 seconds or so.
Back to my sports hole.
Yeah, please. But thanks again to Cafe Bionda. You can call them at 312-326-9800. They're also at cafebionda.com. Facebook.com/CafeBionda and Instagram at Cafe Bionda. They just started this Sunday brunch. The menu was wonderful. French toast, Bionda frittata, the Italian sausage hash, filet mignon sliders, all kinds of good things. And, you know, if the Bears are the Bears, at least then you might as well enjoy a good meal. So thanks again to Tony and everybody from Cafe Bionda. Joining me now here in the Allstate Showcase studio is Cook County Commissioner Bridget Gaynor, a Democrat representing the north side of Chicago. And Commissioner, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Of course. Thanks. Good morning.
So you're an opponent to the pop tax.
I am.
I assume you plan to stay an opponent to the pop tax.
I do.
I don't, you know, I've been around a long time, longer. We don't want to talk about that. But I don't know that I've ever seen a tax that has had such a visceral reaction before.
I agree. I mean, God knows I haven't been around as long as you.
But good, you saved yourself on that one.
Having been around a little bit. I think it's a couple things. I think that you first of all, it's in your face every time you buy something, and it's something that people buy a lot because it isn't just pop. You know, a lot of people don't drink pop, but they have even low sugar orange juice. They have diet sodas. They have other things,
tea.
The juice, tea, all that stuff. So you get confronted with it every single time. So two or three times a week, you're reminded because they have this separate tab on it. But it also really increases the cost of what you're buying. So if you buy a case of pop, it can add several dollars onto the case of pop. And the case of pop isn't that much more expensive than that. So it kind of it's very present to people. But I actually think it's more than that. I think there's a couple things. You had an income tax at the state. You had a property tax at the city, and you had a sales tax at the county. And so for me, who represents, the north side and the northwest side, you have a lot of people who own their own business. They own the building. They're paying all of that stuff. And it feels like a lot. And it also feels like a lot at a time when, that we're also still struggling fiscally. It's not like we had all these taxes and then solved the pension crisis, or had all these taxes in the states in great, AA credit rating condition.
Right.
So the idea is we're passing all these taxes, we're still broke, and yet here's something else that's just like a stone in my shoe that reminds me every single time. So I think that's part of the reason it's been such a backlash.
Would a property tax have been, not that property taxes are ever palatable,
right,
but a property tax increase of that nature or something else rather than this?
I think what people are looking for is a combination. Generally speaking, when you really talk to people, it's not so much that they don't want to support the cost of government. It's just that they want to see a balance. They want to see some cuts, and then they can see some revenue. But when it's just revenue and not cuts, it makes them crazy because they feel like it's only one, everyone sitting on the same side of the table.
And no offense, but county government doesn't do a good job of explaining what it does.
Well, it only serves, it acts as the safety net in a lot of ways. It's the jail, it's the public health system, it's the court system. So you could live your whole life here and avoid most of those things. I mean, we all benefit. You have to have a criminal justice system, you have to have a court system, or we wouldn't have a safe society. But people don't touch it and feel it. It's not like the park district or the police department or streets where people see it every day and they see how they benefit.
Now, we have President Preckwinkle is preparing her to put out the budget.
Yeah.
As another reason.
Right, this week.
As another reason kind of why the tax should not be repealed. is there an obligation on others to come up with where's the $200 million in revenue come from?
Of course there is. This is a joint effort. You know, I mean, just like city council, it's a give and take. Everyone has to contribute. I think there's a couple of things. The budget comes out and there's two things to consider. One, the $200 million number is a projection. But when you look at places where the pop tax has been implemented, the projections fall short of the reality, because I can't imagine you haven't heard people that say, I'm driving to Will County to get my pop. I'm getting it when I'm coming back from Indiana. This is something that people have the choice to pay. So this isn't like property tax, or it isn't like other things where you're kind of stuck.
Right.
So the $200 million, when you look at Philadelphia, their actual collections are about 30% lower than their projections. So I think, you know, this idea that we're going to hit $200 million has to be challenged. And then the second part is, where are there ways at the county where we can reduce costs? And that is absolutely people's responsibility.
And I think that's what people are asking. I mean, the public is kind of asking is, you know, you're telling us there aren't any places to cut.
There are. And so, you know, a couple of things that have happened at the county over the last couple of years that I have not been in support of, and I think we can reverse, is the move towards outsourcing to large contracts to have outside people manage functions at the county that are in some ways very day-to-day. We entered into an almost $50 million contract with a private company. We borrowed money, and then we are paying contractors to pay prevailing wage plus a bump up to the contractor to change the light bulbs for energy-efficient light bulbs. And those are core functions of what the county does every day. And so when you look at, you know, seasonal workers, we end up hiring a private company to come in, again, contractor bonus, prevailing wage, to come in and do seasonal jobs where you could hire, just like they do at the city, in streets when there's more work in the summer, using our own employees. And, you know, there's some things that government does all the time, and we're kind of in that business. There are niche things that, you know, that can be outsourced. But at the end of the day, you can't get away from doing your day-to-day, and you end up paying a premium for it. And those are the things that we have to get away from because they're too expensive.
You kind of touched on the compounding of should Democrats be concerned? I talked about this with Hal, and I remember going over to Slating, and there were real concerns about the Democrats.
And
I mean, actually, Chris Kennedy mentioned that if people think that this is going to be some kind of Democratic wave year automatically because of people that have concerns about Donald Trump, you might want to think again because of the fact of, you know, these various levies that have been put on.
That's absolutely the case. I mean, the cover of Time magazine is an NFL player kind of tackling one of those balloon things that's never topple over of Donald Trump, you know. And look, the guy has gone through more mishaps in 6 or 8 months than you could imagine in an entire presidency. And guess what? It doesn't stick. There are things that people aren't, you know, there is a big resistance, but it's not as if the whole country is going to change its mind. And I think the combination of taxes that people see, the fact that they don't feel like we have our fiscal house in order, and, you know, the idea that, you know, Trump is not going to lead a great resistance. People may not like him, but the Democrats can't rely on that. This is about organizing at the grassroots level. And one of the things that the Democratic Party has done less of a good job in the last generation is really doing that local office piece, because, you know, we get kind of charmed and romanced by a really charismatic president, and we kind of expect that momentum to inspire everyone and elect a Democratic politician. But just because you have a Democratic president doesn't mean that on the ground you have Democratic policies and practices. I mean, you know, you were talking earlier on the show about abortion. You know, I mean, look, abortion's legal federally, but you could drive 2 days in the middle of this country and not find someone to provide one. Right to work laws, you know, you got labor laws enshrined at the federal government, and we're, you know, the only state that's not a right to work state in the entire industrial Midwest. So we've got to do a much better job of communicating what we're all about, but doing it at really hitting the shoe leather.
And actually proving up.
Yes. Yeah.
Not just talking, but proving up.
Well, that's always the way. Yeah.
Well, I know, but I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think there seems to be among the electorate, maybe that was part of this Trump factor of people wanting results.
I think also they want to know where people stand, even if they don't like it. They want to feel like someone's not selling them a load of goods. And, you know, look, I'm not defending Trump by any far stretch of the imagination, but you know, there's this idea that people at least feel like they know what he's doing. Now, a lot of that's changed in the 9 months of him being president, but I think they're looking for some solid ground.
And, of course, there's always Twitter as well.
There's always Twitter. I had a really funny story. Doris Kearns Goodwin, who wrote, you know, the historian, sure, writes about baseball. She talked when she wrote Team of Rivals that Lincoln had this practice where if he got really mad at somebody, he would have this thing called a hot letter where he'd write everything he was mad, like a general did something in the war. But he realized that if he said it, it might kind of undermine their confidence. So he would put it away for a couple days and then go back to it later and see if he wanted to say all that stuff.
If he still felt that way, yes.
So she said that President Trump should have a hot Twitter, that it just goes off into ether, and then later he can come back and do it. So, you know.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, no, you never know.
We're speaking with Cook County Commissioner Bridget Gaynor. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, and joining me here in studio is Bridget Gaynor, Cook County Commissioner, Democrat representing the north and northwest sides of the city. I want to talk to you about land bank, mm-hmm, program, the county's land bank program, which is kind of it's a very novel homeowners program, because the land banking before was always developers.
Yes, yes. So we started the land bank in 2013, and it really came as a result from the foreclosure crisis. You know, houses all over the city in really good neighborhoods, Chatham, Auburn, Gresham, Belmont, Cragen, were stuck in the court system. So they were vacant for years. And so first our thought was, okay, how do we get them unstuck from the court system? Because I had people all the time say, this house is across the street from me. I want to buy it. It's next door to my mother. I can't even figure out who owns it. So we did that part. Then they'd often be burdened by tons of back taxes. And if you don't clear that out, it's going to sit vacant. Now, right, you know, we've got hundreds of homes that are back on the tax rolls. But then the next thing we realize is, there's a bunch of homes that require a good amount of rehab, $40,000, $50,000. It's not really enough for a developer, but it's almost sometimes too much for a homeowner. So how do we figure out a way? So we work with banks, came up with a new mortgage product that they can use, because banks often don't want to lend when the house really needs some significant repairs. And the land bank has two big focuses. One is, we're focused on homeownership. You know, there's been a huge spike in single family home rental in this country in the last 5 to 10 years. And I just feel like it's just one more way to undermine the stability, financial stability of the middle class. Defined benefit pensions, your home, those were your investments for retirement. And if you undermine those, then people have, you know, they have no generational wealth, especially in communities that were redlined or were hit harder by foreclosure. And a lot of those were Black and Latino communities. So we looked at this focus as to say, we're going to push to homeownership. We're not going to sell to developers who only want to go for rental or only have a Section 8 strategy. So now we've done hundreds of homes, and 75% of them have gone to homeowners, and in all the same neighborhoods across Chicago, mostly south and west sides. And this new program now gives you this opportunity, especially if a house has been vacant for a year or two, it needs some substantial work. And this is a way to connect small developers and get them busy. You know, most, sure, of our developers are from the community. So we have about 150 developers, the majority of whom African-American, Latino, small, because we eliminate the obstacles. It's not about giving someone a grant. It's about making it, you know, getting rid of the things that get in their way for them to have their own business.
How do people get more information about this?
So if you go to cookcountylandbank.org, so cookcountylandbank.org, all one word, all the houses we have for sale are right up there. And actually, with this home buyer direct program, as we're calling it, we're actually raffling a home, a fully rehabbed home in Auburn Gresham that's going to be done right before Thanksgiving. And so if you go on the website, you can register for the raffle, lottery, whatever you want to call it, for this program. And we're using that as an opportunity to really, you know, take
a demonstration.
A demonstration, because a lot of people are paying more in rent than they would in a mortgage, but they don't know how to take the next step. And homeownership is the key to neighborhood stability in my mind. And I think we have a huge opportunity to get people out of expensive rentals and into homes where they're actually building their own wealth and retirement security.
Well, and in a kind of a related thing, in talking with Republicans, talking about their tax reform at the national, yeah, level, and the issue of things like taking out state and local tax deductibility, mm-hmm, I think there is a significant impact there if were that to occur. on home ownership
yep.
in Illinois and property tax states?
I think that, well, there's two issues. One is they want to eliminate the mortgage interest deduction. And I want to say, I think we have a better chance of seeing God than we have at that happening, because everybody gets a mortgage,
right.
Republican or Democrat. The second is this whole, like you said, if we're in a high property tax and high income tax states, like most Democratic states are, New York, Illinois, California, and you eliminate that deduction off your federal taxes, it's definitely a hit on what blue states or whatever you want to call them. That'll have an impact. But hopefully it won't impact home ownership, because they'll still, I truly believe, we'll always maintain this mortgage interest
right.
deduction. It's too popular and it's too widespread.
Also want to ask you about off the sidelines.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's a nonpartisan
yes.
Platform.
So,
and it's women engagement.
Yeah. Well, look, a couple years ago, I've just found myself in this conversation over and over again about women who said, God, there's so much I want to change. I want to get involved and I don't know what to pick because there's so many choices. And I think especially when you're raising kids or your parents are getting older, you're really pressed and you're working. You know, your time is really valuable. How do you choose that thing? So I had met Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. She launched this thing Off the Sidelines. And it's, you know, there's a lot of focus on women running for office, which is great. And I'm a huge supporter. Having said that, most women are never going to run for office. So the whole goal is just get active. And we started a Chicago chapter. And it's been amazing. So in 2 years, we have now over 2,000 people involved. We pick one issue, talk about it. This is what's really interesting. And then we get a lunch. We have a lunch at the end of the month where people come together. And at one of them, I was invited out to a couple of high schools, you know, right around the issues of Laquan McDonald. And two high schools on the south side and then Whitney Young. And met this group of amazing young women. So at 16 and 17, way more plugged in to the rest of the world. I mean, I was like,
isn't that a shock when
right.
you
I was thinking like, what am I doing on Saturday? And you know, I'm gonna stand around at Monroe Park. I mean, that was about like the extent probably of my deep thoughts. But these girls were really thinking, and one of the most poignant comments I got was, it was a bunch of girls at Lindblom, and we asked, you know, kind of what they were feeling about the Laquan McDonald issue and everything that was going on in the city. And their point was, no one asks us our opinion. The boys go to the protests, but my parents don't let me go. The boys go, they tussle with the reporters, they kind of get their voice heard. And I said, listen, if you think that's the last time you're going to be in a situation where a boy gets their voice heard and you don't, or a man and a woman, I said, this is like a lifelong journey, so you better figure out a way to get around it now. So we brought all these girls together from all over the city, and we said, what do you want to do about it? And they said, we want to do a conference where we talk about the stuff that's on our mind. And they were really focused on calling it a feminist, young feminist conference. So this year we're having our second one, October 21st at Motorola Mobility at the Merchandise Mart. And they've been wonderful hosts for us. And there's going to be hundreds of girls. I mean, it's really kind of exploded. But the two things they talked about that they really is really on their mind is, the first is online bullying. This idea that you kind of put yourself out there, you have an opinion, and it's, you get this onslaught of negative feedback. And so Julie DiCario, who is a ESPN reporter who had this experience, is coming to speak to the girls. So, and it was interesting because we encourage our daughters to have a strong opinion, to have a voice, to put themselves out there. But are they prepared to take what comes next, especially when
in this era of social media?
Right. And that is not, you know, I have teenage kids, boys and girls, and this is not a language I'm fluent in. So I got to learn how to be better at it, and this will be really interesting.
How can people get information about
yes,
the conference?
Yes, so if you go to otschicago.org, OTS Chicago, just Google Off the Sideline Chicago, or even go to BridgetGaynor.com. All the information's there. October 21st, it's free, and it's not just for young girls. It's for young at heart. So a lot of women my age are bringing their daughters. You know, how do you talk about some of this stuff with your daughter in a way that she's hearing her peers talk about it too? So we have, you know, women all the way up to 70, girls starting at about 16. So I really encourage people to come, because this is about taking positive action. It's not about looking in the rearview mirror. And we have an amazing generation coming up, and it's an opportunity to see them really take leadership.
Commissioner Bridget Gaynor, thank you so much for joining me this morning. We'll be back with more right after this.